Looking for a job isn't easy. It used to be that you could apply at a big name tech company and build a great career for yourself. But times have changed. Many of these companies have gone full woke. And if you aren't the right gender, ethnicity, you don't use pronouns, or if you're not an activist for the preferred cause, then good luck. Why would you risk your career on that? At Red Balloon, we're connecting good employees with top quality companies that value you for your skills and your work ethic, not your social activism score. Employers who post jobs on Red Balloon are focused on creating an enjoyable and productive work culture, free from divisive woke mandates. So if you want to find a serious career path without the nonsense, come to Red Balloon and post your resume today. Because you shouldn't have to choose between your job and your values. That's redballoon.work, where you can find your future.
Everybody, welcome back to the Liberty Lounge with Tim Tyso and the old boys, Matthew Halleck, Dr. Michael Thiessen, and of course, Andrew DiBartolo. We're bringing the band back together, and we're going to play some oldies for you. The Liberty Lounge is designed to keep watch over some major cultural events happening in our country and to do it with you. So thanks for joining us today, our dear listeners. We appreciate it. This show is produced by Liberty Coalition Canada, of course, in partnership with ChristianWeek.org. Liberty Coalition Canada exists to establish Christ's justice and righteousness and to defend those who stand. Christian Week exists to provide practical, balanced, and hope-filled perspective on national and global issues. Boys, it is so good to be back in the lounge with you. It's been a long time, and it is just absolutely exciting to get to do this with you once again. So thanks for joining me, and I hope you're all doing well. You're all looking fine.
Mm-hmm. Even though Canada is a raging hot dumpster fire and the flames are significantly larger than they were last time, it is great to be here.
Yeah, this is why we exist.
For the times like this. Of the Bible burning.
Mm-hmm. Andrew always giving us that hope-filled perspective, and this is why we keep him on.
Listen, the bigger the fire gets, the more people that can stand around it to roast marshmallows and wieners.
And by so wieners, you're talking people. Metaphorically, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm speaking about the pagans who will also be tossed into the raging hellfire.
I said you're
someday.
Speaking metaphorically. You don't need to move on to descriptive acts of violence. Like I thought we were.
We're nothing but transparent on the program.
We're not going to be roasting too many wieners on this show today. Yeah. But what I
other
would
than
like
Andrew
to do,
DiBartolo,
he will be roasted. I want to bring our listeners up to speed on something that happened this week across our nation. So gather in close, dim the lights, grab a drink, and join us in the lounge. This week, across Canada, high school students walked out of their classrooms. You've probably already heard the name Josh Alexander if you listen to any of our channels. Millions of people know his name. He appeared on Tucker Carlson's show with Liberty Coalition Canada chief litigator James Kitchen earlier this year. And the kids are walking out because Josh walked in. Josh was the first real pebble in the shoe of Canadian so-called educators, whose goal, it seems, is to dispense crippling sexual confusion upon an entire generation that is already without religion, whole families, or deep, genuine friendships. A teenager's personal sense of security about who he or she is meant to be is already a tenuous and fragile ideal. And it seems to be the last shred of humanity the intellectual perverts in our public school systems are bent to strip away from our youth. So, Josh spoke up and said, God made them male and female. Quoting scripture used to be pretty uncontroversial in a Catholic school, by the way, but that was 11 minutes ago. Try to keep up. See, in the old order in Canada, a cheeky troubler in a high school might have raised his hand in a history class and boldly proclaimed, quote, religion is the cause of all war, and smugly headed down to the cafeteria to make fun of the nerds. But that order is flipped. There is a new social order, and it is much less forgiving toward those who speak against its canons. See, Josh, for doing so, was suspended and then given restrictive isolation requirements for continuing to study on school property. Ignoring those, Josh was arrested when he returned to class. Regime apologists will tell you that Josh's free speech rights weren't violated. His right to personal security was not violated. His right to liberty without discrimination was not violated in all of this. No, because Josh is guilty. Josh's crime was daring to speak against the idol of human sexual autonomy. He dared to keep his knees locked straight when the trumpet sounded for state-mandated worship at the altar. Josh is a new kind of troubler. He's been labeled a far-right, hate-filled bigot for quoting God in a Catholic school. In the good old days, we called these radicals Christians. But this tack is nothing new from those who hate God. In the days of Elijah, shofars notwithstanding, there were so few God-fearing Israelites left because Jezebel had cut off all God's prophets. The prophets of Baal thought they were the top dogs until God's prophet came back for a showdown. You know what they called? You know what the king called Elijah? He called him the troubler of Israel. You keep coming around. You just won't die. You won't leave us alone. The troublers in our day are showing similar resolve. Josh was arrested again, this time by Calgary police. You see, our culture wants to be left alone. The doorkeepers at the highest institutions would love nothing more than for the troublers to go back into our churches, close the doors, and quietly ignore the devastation, idolatry, and perversion that is taking hold in our public square. But like Josh, like Elijah, like the students who walked out this week, the play is the same. You see, it's not us causing the trouble. It's you who abandon God who are the real problem. You are the troublemakers. We're just here to call us all back to God, who simply says to us today, male and female, I created you. So guys, this is how this unfolded. We had a walkout, a high school walkout this week, and we're proud to have the organizer, Andrew DiBartolo, with us. And Andrew, I'd love for you to kind of talk us through how this event came to flesh. And of course, we'll get an update from some of our listeners as we get stories rolling in. But how did this come to be, Andrew? Just walk us through that.
Sure. So, I mean, just a slight point of clarification. I'm technically not the organizer. I just happen to be the best looking person at Liberty Coalition Canada. And so they wanted me to talk about it as much as possible to hopefully win over favor and participation. So just so we're clear about that.
Fair point.
Essentially, what happened was Josh planned a walkout at his school in November of 2022. And then he was suspended 2 days before the walkout because he was found guilty of pre-crime and thought crime. And so this walkout protest has been in the works for a while, and it's the same idea, that schools would have these trans bathroom policies, that schools would allow boys to go into the girls' bathroom, and that a number of these schools would at least have the title Christian or Catholic in their name is a serious issue. And so the whole idea was Josh organized one walkout at one school because of this madness. So what if we organized a whole bunch of walkouts at a whole bunch of schools in Canada, but also around the world? So we announced this walkout maybe a month, couple months ago, and we were calling on people to join in solidarity with Josh and to plan to walk out of their school. And on our website, we had people sign up saying either I'm a student or I'm a parent and I want to participate, or a concerned citizen. And on our website, we had people from Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, saying that they, and the Philippines as well, saying that they were going to participate, which was tremendous. We don't have final numbers yet. We haven't received all of the pictures and videos from people. So hopefully next week we can have a firmer update with what took place. I mean, we know what happened with Josh in Calgary, so we're going to be talking about that. But it appears that people responded favorably and that people definitely support Josh. There were also, maybe we get into this for humor's sake, there were some trolls who filled out some stuff on the survey as well. And I thought, it's kind of funny. I mean, their trollery was pretty terrible and not very well thought out, which is what you would expect from the stupid left. But in any event, they tried. They tried their best to be trolls. But by and large, people were supportive, and I look forward to good reports and lots of pictures and videos that should be coming in over the course of this weekend. Which reminds me to say that if you are listening to this show and you participated in one of the walkouts, a student, a parent, a concerned citizen, if you have any pictures, if you have any videos, if you have any testimony from the walkout on the 17th, then please send them to us. You can send them to mailbag@libertycoalitioncanada.com so we can compile all of this and we can highlight that more than just a small fringe minority with unacceptable views, we are a larger group of reasonable people with eyes that work and brains that haven't been corrupted by rainbow indoctrination. So that's the report.
If I could jump in here on the report, the reason why we ran this walkout is for twofold. Number one, we need another generation of Joshes to come up. You know, what the left tries to do as a tactic is they try to keep everybody bullied into inactivity, and then they highlight the one or two people who are more comfortable with the controversy. And they go, oh, look, they're, you know, Tim, just as you said, they're just troublemakers. They're just up there. They're always there. It's always Josh Alexander. It's no one else. You know, we experienced this with the churches being open. They liked to bait our friend Jacob Raum with, well, Trinity's the only church. Where's all the other churches? And so they try to pigeonhole an individual in, and they try to typecast that individual so that people will dismiss it. You know, this is not someone who really cares about protecting young women, really cares about his religious beliefs. It's just a guy who likes to get on camera. And so that's the first reason why we ran this, is to get people to come along and start speaking up with our young friend Josh. And the second thing is, you know, we've seen campaigns like this in the past for Christians, like a prayer campaign, See You at the Poll, where there's been this quiet encouragement of Christians to be public about their faith. But, you know, we know this is a different day, and we know how intense this is versus just going and praying at the poll. But we need parents and other students to learn the discipline of being public about their beliefs, and how more can you learn that when you go and you may have to face a mob who's yelling at you? So, you know, that's why we ran these things. I'm looking forward to hearing more and more of a report. Of course, most of our report today, Tim, as you're leading us, comes back to the publicity that Josh got. And I was talking with him and James Kitchen yesterday in real time while that was going on. So I'm happy to share about that later on when you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm. And just before we move on, I just want to say thank you to everybody who took part in the walkout. Your courage is definitely appreciated. Your stand is absolutely needed. And what we've been saying on the Dispatch over and over again, though it might be hard to muster the courage to stand in this hour, given the difficulties that Mike talked about, it's not going to get any easier farther down the road, right? Taking a stand now is exactly what we have to do, because we just covered on our program how infested this neo-Marxist gangrene cancer has infected our schools and our institutions to the point of parents and students not being able to speak out against the radical sexual leftist Marxism being foisted on school children. That's where we're at. And if we don't stand now, there is no more ground to continue to give up. It's stand or be swept aside in this flood of radical leftism. Those are our options in the hour. And that's why we needed to spur people behind someone who is as courageous as Josh to stand up, that we can all make that stand here and now and let those lines be clearly shown.
Mike, I appreciate what you just said in your response, and that is we want to teach the discipline. I think that's such a helpful phrase, and I just want to circle back on that because what we are doing is saying there is a discipline involved in being public about your faith. And what we've experienced in the last 3 years is that a lot of folks aspire to a moment of public faithfulness. They aspire to a moment of public courage. They aspire and they value a public expression of faithfulness and a resistance to mob bullying. And as you said, people being bullied into inactivity, they aspire to those moments of resistance where they will stand for what they believe. And what a lot of people find to their own disappointment and to their own shame is that it is a discipline. It's a learned skill. And if we don't do it when, like Matt said, when the lifting is easy and light, we're not going to go and sit down and bench 325 on our first lift. You know, it is a discipline and it's a practice and it does take courage. And it's helpful to rally around people like Josh who are willing to kind of be the first through the wall, an expression we've used before. So that's something we want to continue to bring back to our listeners. But let's talk a little bit more about this figure, Josh Alexander, because he, of course, made it out to Calgary. Mike, why don't you kind of share with us what you heard from them yesterday, and then we're going to show a couple of videos that feature Josh. But yeah, Mike, I'd love to hear what you heard from James Kitchen and Josh Alexander earlier this week.
Well, we had been hearing that Josh would be out west in Calgary to go and participate in the international walkout, and that he was actually on Twitter polling which high school he should go to. And a little bit in the afternoon, we started seeing Rebel News sharing out that Josh had been arrested. So they had that footage. And if you go to Josh's Twitter feed right now, which I'm doing, we're going to play some of these videos and you can see Josh getting arrested. And that, you know, so I immediately called. So, you know, he was tweeting out about that. And I immediately called James Kitchen and said, "Hey, James, are you aware of what's happening with Josh?" And James just notified me to say, "Yes, Josh and I were talking about this. And I've talked to the Calgary police. And what has happened is that Josh has been roughed up a bit in the crowd. And so they removed him from the crowd for his own safety. But they also, at that point, they hadn't done anything to the crowd. And so he called James and said, "What should I do? Like, it's our protest. They're the ones coming at me. What should I do? Should I go back in?" And he received some consultation from James about whether he should go back in, because the police had said, "If you go back in, we're going to charge you with disrupting the police or being a disturbance." And so James said, "Well, you're not doing that. It's unlawful. You have the constitutional right to protest. You arranged this protest. You know, these people are pushing in on you. So Liberty Coalition Canada will stand with you and defend you if any charges are laid." And so then you go back, and if you want to show the video now, this is what happened to Josh after he went back. So I believe this is what was happening originally prior to Josh coming back to the arrest. You can see Josh is just holding his ground at his point of protest. You know, many of these protests, I'm not sure if it happened in this one, but for many of these protests, Josh has already called in advance. He's already spoken to the police about where the police say that he is allowed to protest. And what happens at these protests is the counter-protest mob will just push in and will just, you know, you can see them You can see them hitting him, and you can see them pushing him. You can see them trying to grab his hands. And this is, again, all the mob moving in on Josh rather than Josh descending on a mob. And this happens regularly. I'm going to protest in this section. The counter-protest will stay over there. But the counter-protest then encroaches upon Josh. And then, of course, the police remove Josh rather than holding the line of where the counter-protesters are allowed to go. And then here we go. Now, the police remove Josh from the situation. So, again, just standing his ground with either a young lady beating on him or a young guy dressed as a girl beating him up. We're not sure about that. And then this is the way, you know, that Josh is handcuffed and taken away.
So you can hear at the end there, one of his friends, why are you arresting him? They were the ones assaulting him. And this goes back to my monologue and how I began. Look at it. He's loading up in the paddy wagon there. I mean, this, what is he, 17 years old, Mike? 16?
He's 17. Yep.
17 years old.
If before we talk too much further, Matt, if you could play the other clip that we have of the handing out of the Bibles, because I just want to show you the same protesters. Again, Josh and his friends interacting peacefully, handing out Bibles, and in many respects, the protesters at that point are less stirred up, but still just as belligerent and cruel, really. If you're a Christian kid handing out Bibles, look at what these kids do. We believe the Bible to be the precious words of God. Like, this is life. And this is how the counter-protesters reacted to Josh handing out Bibles.
Liberals burn Bible during a fire ban in Calgary and get caught.
That's not cool. That's not very nice.
It's kind of sick as fuck.
It's kind of fucking sick.
I think there's a fire ban right now.
Yeah, isn't there a fire ban? Oh, you just got caught. You just got caught.
So they're ripping up the Bible now that they couldn't burn it.
So you can hear the Christian kids saying, burning a Bible is not very nice. And you can hear the Christian kids saying, isn't diversity, you know, all about, I can't hear the last word, I'm not sure if it isn't it about being kind and whatnot. And here these kids are ripping apart Bibles, attempting to burn them. This is the atmosphere that Josh then gets arrested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, notice the actual violence and destruction and disruption actually only comes from one of those sides of the aisle, right? Josh is peaceful. He's composed. He's handing out Bibles. Those are not violent acts. Those are peaceful acts. He's standing firm, mind you, against this ideology. And it's the one side who is violently, physically, either destroying property like the Bible or harassing Josh physically. And that's what we have to understand is in standing firm. I like, Tim, that you're talking about being peaceful in acts of civil resistance, being disciplined, being thoughtful, because we have to understand in the leftist idea of activism, largely put forward by Saul Alinsky and many others in his ilk, there's this thing called beautiful trouble. And what they try and do is they try and essentially, they try and kick the dog until the dog reacts violently to protect themselves. And then in that violent protection or act of protection, then they use that reaction as the predicate for either, you know, in this metaphor, putting the dog down, right? So the actual action by these leftist activists is trying to provoke a violent reaction from Josh and those protesters in order that they can show Josh being the violent far-right extremist perpetrator of violence. So when we're calling for people to stand, we need to take a playbook, not just out of the courage of Josh to stand, but also the discipline in how he stood. He was not violent. He was disciplined. He was peaceful. He was civil. And he did not react to that mid-level violence that these activists were perpetrating on him. He stayed calm, cool, and collected in that whole situation. So that's really important for us to understand.
If I could just take this concept of violence that you brought out, appreciate that, because something that we've had to notice as well in the last 5 years in our culture is the way that violence has been redefined. And that's one of the issues why law enforcement is so twisted in how they respond to these events, because we've allowed the left to redefine violence in by any means that they wish. So the being denied, you know, entrance into any bathroom you want, or failing to have your pronouns respected. Any form of word that makes you feel uncomfortable or makes you feel not seen or not validated can be considered violence. And so we actually saw an event. I'll have to look this up, but we saw an event out west, or maybe might have been right here in Ontario a couple weeks ago, where a man was literally violently assaulted as the police looked on. A man who was, again, doing a civil, peaceful civil demonstration, and he was assaulted. He had his property destroyed, and when they went and spoke to the police officer nearby, she just laughed.
Billboard Chris. We covered that whole thing on our show where he was standing there with a sign, and then he was grabbed in the throat by a man who, you know, it's ma'am, and it's definitely a man.
So
when they brought the video evidence, the police were like, well, you know, that Valley Girl officer was like, well, you were being mean to him. And I mean, I just can't even. And then she just walked away. It was basically it.
So real violence is ignored while the violence of ideological resistance is not tolerated. And again, who walked away in handcuffs yesterday? Who got loaded in? This is airing the day after, 2 days after, pardon my chronological ignorance, but who walked away in handcuffs? It was Josh. Because Josh's violence is the type of violence that we don't accept. And I hate to use that because I'm playing into it, but it's ideological resistance is now considered violence that the police will address. Meanwhile, he was literally shoved.
Because the same side will say speech is violence, but they'll also say silence is violence. And they'll also say real violence is violence. And so it's like trying to get Jell-O stuck to the wall. Like everything's violent. Everything's violence when it's done from the wrong side. And then nothing is violence because you have to be able to punch out Nazis, right? That's not violence. That's appropriate response.
And that's why many times on our program, we've said we live in Herbert Marcuse's world, because this is Marcusean repressive tolerance. That's exactly the strategy that he laid out, is essentially right-wing so-called ideologies are so dangerous that you have to and you should engage in violent pre-censorship of those ideas. But all ideas that are coming from the left ought to be allowed to further enable the cultural revolution. And that's what you're seeing in practice here, right? It's happening before our eyes. And the fact of the matter is, well, you're left with two choices. Because the deck's so stacked, do you just take your ball and go home and shut up and let them win? Or do you stand and do it peacefully and thoughtfully like Josh? And I think the answer is very clear. And that's why us here at the Liberty Coalition Canada, we're going to continue to stand up against this ideological movement, because realistically, if we don't stand right now, we're in big, big trouble.
So watching those clips with Josh, and then something you said, Tim, in your monologue about Elijah and who's a real troubler, brought to mind something that Doug Wilson said two No Quarter Novembers ago when he set his boat on fire. And the statement was, we are not incendiary people. We are normal people living in a flammable world. And that's what's going on. We are not, like, Josh is not going around setting fires. He's just going around saying that men are men and women are women and men shouldn't be allowed in women's bathrooms. That is arguably one of the most benign, non-controversial things anyone can say. So Josh isn't walking around lighting fires. Josh is a normal person walking around that simply taking a step somewhere causes it to spark into flame. So we are normal people living in a flammable culture, and simply saying something like, oh yeah, God exists, causes radical lefties to collectively set their purple hair on fire. And everything goes up.
To your point, on when Josh posted this video of that we just played of him being arrested, he said, according to Calgary police, my views were too, quote, inflammatory to be expressed near Western Canada High School. So they're admitting that. They're admitting that just this property is too flammable. These people are too flammable. You can't say that near here because these people are literally tottering on the verge of total anarchy. They're tottering on the verge of total revolution and total violent reaction. To your position, I mean, he's walking around in a plaid shirt and a hat and jeans, like any good Eastern Canadian rural boy. There's nothing controversial about this figure. There's nothing controversial about his views, according to, again, what was true 11 minutes ago. But this flammability.
Yeah, he's just the oxygen, right? He's not the flame. He's just it. So when you're standing over the embers of a fire and you're trying to get it going, right? He's not the flame. He's not the smoke. He's just breathing. He's just the oxygen that, as it passes over, causes the thing. But you can't say, oh, well, I guess that means we need to get rid of oxygen. I guess that means no air. Like, this is normal reality. And simply by being, right? By simply being there, which is his right, the whole thing goes up in flames. I'll also note, curiously enough, that
don't
one
move on.
Black
don't
woman...
move on. Don't move on. Okay. Don't move on. Don't keep adding, because that's a really good thought, because ironically, they are removing the oxygen. So if you look at a firefighting strategy, if you want to remove the oxygen out of the air if there's flame there. And so they are, as a policing strategy, instead of going and trying to attack the flames, instead of shooting water on the flames, instead of saying, okay, we're going to have 15 officers here today because this left mob is utterly ridiculous and just won't respect the space of another protest. We're going to remove the oxygen, and we are pushing, I'm pushing that metaphor as far as it can go, because it is actually the very oxygen of reality. It is the very oxygen of truth. And so on one hand, the flames go out and everybody goes, oh, good. But what's not left is life. What's not left is any type of recovery for the institution, for the high school. The students still have no foundation to walk forward on. The oxygen's out, so there's no flame, but everybody's walking around and people still don't know if they can, the girls still don't know if they can go into a bathroom safely. And you can see in the video there, the one where they're burning the Bibles, right? It's the age old high school girl standing beside her boyfriend or standing beside a guy that she kind of likes, and And, you know, you've seen it in high, you've seen it in jocks on the opposite end of things.
Can we just label him correctly? Soy boy, beta male, simp. Can we just call
sure,
that
whichever? But he's probably got a girlfriend.
What he was.
So I mean, he's out there.
He's definitely
friend
zoned all the way. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He's deep in the friend zone. That's soy boy, beta male, green haired, effeminate eunuch. He has no girlfriend. There's no way.
Deep. I'll disagree with you on that.
He doesn't even know what a girl is.
I think she was standing right beside him, and like a faithful high school foolish young woman, she's just standing there, and he's spouting off
jealous of his jewelry because he has more earrings than she does.
She, you know, the reasonable response, and then she tries to defend him, and so none of those people have anything to actually say about anything now, because the truth of the matter, the oxygen has been removed from the room. That guy is still an idiot. He still doesn't know that the Bible is worthwhile and certainly should never be burned. And that young girl who's defending this guy still can't qualify what a woman is. So the problem
with that practice, though, even though putting out the oxygen yields the desired result, which is the fire is eliminated, the real problem is that everyone around them, so all those that woke rainbow mafia that was around him, they are dumping cans of lighter fluid upon the fire. And so, fine, you put a blanket over the oxygen's out. But you haven't dealt with the deeper issue, which is they're still pouring gasoline now onto a fire that doesn't exist. But here's why that's the problem. There will inevitably be another spark. And so if the desired result is put the fire out, let's remove the oxygen, hey, success. The problem is that's just a Band-Aid solution, because they're still dousing this blanket with lighter fluid, and all it's going to take is another spark, which will come. The spark will happen for whatever reason, because they woke up and someone misgendered them, or someone, I don't know, whatever, said something reasonable, like BLM is a Marxist organization, and then sure enough, you're going to have another fire.
Mike, you brought up the idea of ignorance there, which I thought was so helpful. This guy has no idea what's in this scripture. And that's why I'm pointing out my monologue. This is a generation that's already without religion. This is not a generation that's grown up in the church and they're finally rebelling and getting their freedom from the church. These are kids who have never had it. They don't even have a foundation to stand on. They're empty vessels that they're pouring this trash, this toxic trash down their open throats. They already don't have it. These guys don't know what they're doing. They're lighting the Bible because the Bible represents something that they should hate, because it represents restriction. It represents oppression in their minds, because that's what they've been told. And they stand around and they light this thing on fire. And the irony that cries out from this video is that the other girl with the cell phone goes, hey, isn't there a fire ban on right now? Like, she knows the local municipal fire schedule. And says, oh, I don't think you should be doing that. So it's just, it's a parody of itself. What's going on here is these youth who have no clue the authority of God's word over their lives and what they've chosen to violate and destroy. And yet they'll stop burning it for what? Because the state says there's a fire ban on right now. And you wouldn't want to dare cross the state. Meanwhile, they shred and tear up and light on fire the very words of their creator, to whom they will speak one day.
And I know all of us want to talk about this, so I'm just going to be super quick, then you guys can all jump in. And it's like all of the punk rock bands that jump on board. It's like the kid with the nose rings and the tongue ring and the mouth ring. Like, I'm not going to conform to anything.
That's right.
There's a fire band. Oh. Yeah. Like
he's more establishment. Wow. He is more of an establishment statist crony than Josh is.
Than Josh,
who's handing out Bibles. He worships at the altar of the state. And I'll say also, I have to make sure that we get this out of the way, is that part of what's awful and true about this whole situation is the burning of the Bible and the fire ban. The reality for these people who continue to live in their rebellion and rejection of Christ, if they don't if they don't throw themselves upon his mercy and turn from their sin, then they will come to realize that there is no fire ban in hell. There is no, oh, we can put those flames out for now. Looks like the wrath of God can just kind of go away, which, by the way, is probably something they've grown up believing, being in a post-Christian culture. When you have when you have a good number of quote-unquote Christians saying, oh, yeah, God's wrath just kind of disappears. It vanishes into a cloud of rainbow sprinkles and confetti. And they don't understand. Now, you are under the judgment of God for your sin. And hellfire is real, and there's a place where rebels to the king go, which, interestingly enough, is exactly what Josh was trying to warn them about and call them to turn and repent.
Andrew, I thought this was a lounge. Isn't this a friendly, cozy lounge where
don't
everybody's
we have fire? Don't you have fire? I don't know what your lounge, but don't you have fireplaces in lounges? Like, isn't that?
Well, guys, it is utterly our hearts that the young men and women we watch in those videos who are burning those Bibles would look back and be able to tell show that video to their children and say, look at how foolish I was when I didn't know God. Like, our hope is that they would come to Christ and never have to face that fire. That's why we're doing this. If any of them are trolling us, or if anyone is trolling Josh, that's really our message. And our message is the reason why the earth is starting to look like hell on earth is because you're turning from Christ. But that's nothing compared to spending an eternity apart from God in torment because you have rejected the holy God. And so we talk about these matters because they're the precursor of the thing.
Yeah. And Mike, I want to jump in on your comment as far as it pertains to the hilarious irony of this punk rock so-called subversive cowering in fear of violating the municipal law on a fire ban because he lit the edge of a Bible on fire. I grew up in the punk rock community. I have tattoos. I played in punk rock bands, metal bands. That was entirely what I did during my 20s. I know that culture. And a big part of me in my conversion coming out of that culture and its false subversiveness was understanding that, yes, it's like Tim has said, that these are little children playing a silly game to fight back against the created norms that God has implemented. This is them role-playing subversiveness and revolution. But when it comes down to it, there's a level of cowardice and conformity that exists in these communities like you've never seen before in your life. And that's the reality of the situation is there's this huge irony that people look at like a band like Rage Against the Machine. Their name should be now Rage, We Are the Machine, because they're just like every Marxist ever, that as so long as the supposed bourgeois hegemony exists, we have to rage and fight against it and tear down these structures and destroy the world that we live in. But the second that then we become the new hegemony, the dictatorship of the proletariat's installed, well, then we have to keep out all dissenting thought. We cannot let anybody who disagrees with us even have the remote opportunity to talk about what their disagreements would be. There's a rank hypocrisy in this worldview because they're not worried about being consistent. They're just worried about keeping out any truth from penetrating their worldview. And that's what I saw within my own community of friends and some loved ones, is they're completely and totally, despite what they'll say, intolerant of other worldviews. So when those worldviews are in the ascendancy, they want to tear them down and burn them. But when they're not in the ascendancy, they want to suppress them and shut them up, lest any of that truth get free. And that's not tolerance. That's not you know, liberal democratic norms. That's violent. That's tyrannical. That's oppressive. And that's sadly what we're seeing here is all these people in the radical autonomous freedom, they think they're actually free. But what is actually the case is they're enslaved to sin and the joke's on them. And that's why we would call them to repentance and faith and to stop being conformists to a leftist totalitarian status.
So, yeah. That's a great point right there, Matt, is that the freedom that they believe they're expressing is a total slavery, and it's a play that's being pulled on them. So as we've looked over this, and Josh got arrested, and I don't even know his status as of the recording of this show, people will ask, well, what's the point then? What is the point, Liberty Coalition Canada and Andrew DiBartolo, the good-looking representative? Why do we do these things? Why do we stand up when the police are going to come after the truth tellers, the troublemakers who come and the normal people in the flammable world, the oxygen to these battles? Why do that when our culture has decided what they want to hear and what they don't want to hear? And I'm going to put this to you guys. And for me as a Christian, this is why I do it. And that is because we stand and give a witness to the truth regardless of the results. Regardless of the results. We don't know how people will respond, but we do know that we have a responsibility to present it. Because if we don't present it, there's nothing for them to respond to. There's no choice that we present before them. There's no fork in the road. There's no dichotomy that we give to them as a choice. And so we become guilty of negligence. We become guilty of passivity and cowardice in terms of displaying what we're called to display. And so these people, because of what these students did this week, and I want to include all the students, not just Josh, whether they handed out Bibles, whether pastors went and prayed with them, whatever they did, they offered a public rebuke of the ideology. They offered a public rebuke to the regime. They offered a public rebuke to the administrators, the HR departments, the teachers, the guidance counselors, the principals who have let the floodgates open in true abdication of responsibility, in true abdication of their duties as these institution keepers. There was a public rebuke that sounded off across this country and across the world this week, and that's why we do it. If they arrest all of us, then the guilt is on them. We've done our duty. And so this is why I would say to people who I hear over and over again, what's the point? If I get fired from my job, what's the point? It's one person. Then I lose my job. Then I can't do this or XYZ. And so there's no point in doing any of this because they are so hard-headed against us and they are so, you know, iron-fisted against us. But that's exactly the point. And it's to hold them to account. It's to offer a public rebuke. And that's ultimately our job. So that's why we do it.
That's really important because if you don't want to go along with everything that's being implemented, if you don't want to be another cog in the machine, standing up and pushing back is the best way to not be a cog in the machine.
To your point on this public rebuke, R.J. Rushdoony wrote about Cornelius Van Til's assessment of philosophy, and he put forward the imagery that Cornelius Van Til, when he confronted the philosophical world, was such an offense to them because it was like demonstrating that the emperor has no clothes. And I've mentioned this, I think, a few times over the last month or two, that because it's such a powerful metaphor, he goes on to say, what's life like for that kid? So like the emperor doesn't want to be embarrassed. The charlatans who sold him nakedness and told him he was clothed, they don't want to be found out. His parents don't want to be known as the parents of the kid who brought shame to the nation when he pointed out the obvious. The crowds, in their adoration of the emperor, don't want to be confronted with the fact that they went along with the folly and had no spine. And so everybody, so Rush Dooney basically said that that young boy lived out his life alone and as an outcast, likely because it's the machine is just so much against the truth. And so I appreciate your comment there, Tim, about this being a public rebuke, because even with Josh's story, we've heard of the principal, we've heard of the teacher. You know, Josh said this in a mathematics class. A mathematics class. You have a mathematics teacher who's trying to teach you the absolute rules of math by which we depend upon, like, our theories of flight and our assumptions about architecture. You know, like, we're talking about fixed rules that we depend upon our life. And a math teacher won't admit the biological fixed reality of maleness and femaleness. Then he goes to the principal, and the principal's like, I don't think you're reading between the lines here, Josh. Like, there's a way for you to see what I'm saying without see what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like it was,
I didn't realize the principal is Jack Nicholson. I didn't realize the principal is Jack Nicholson.
Exactly. It's that whole, like,
can you see what
it's
I'm
that
saying,
whole slime ball adult passing on to a young adult, just go along to get along. We all know this is stupid, but you're not reading between the lines, kid. Like, it's that
so
garbage.
I was trying to stay off of this. I do want to address quickly a comment we got in our YouTube. I'm going to address it quick, and then I'm going to give you guys your final word. But we can't avoid this in this episode, because, man,
I thought that we wanted
there
to talk about it. I didn't think that we wanted
we do,
to avoid
we do.
It at all.
I know. I was – well, it depends. I mean, the episode's getting long, so we'll have to be tight
yeah.
here. But guys,
I think that's what you meant.
We went there. We went fire and brimstone. Okay, we went turn or burn. We went Jesus is Lord. We went the scriptures provide the answers. And I want to turn to a comment, because when I discussed in my episode on the other club, the UN, they had this report that was going to make – that they suggested making everything in the world that's disgusting and evil legal, so that nobody would get in trouble for doing anything bad. Again, that's that flammable world where we don't want crime – you know, inflaming these flammable people or criminal prosecutions doing so. So we discussed this, and Slack John, not saying, I don't know if that's a male or female who it is, but they, he or she commented on the video saying, it's so annoying that I agree with you about everything, but why do you have to bring religion into it? It just drives me nuts that I agree with you all the way, but you're bringing your beliefs into it. You're bringing your religion into it. And what you need to do is remove that barrier, because it applies to so few people. And you need to go down to the bare facts. You need to get down to logic, and you need to get down to reason. And then there you can stomp out the flames. I mean, this metaphor is just pouring through this episode. That is how you win the debate and stomp the fires out, says Slack John, not saying. You got to push objective facts, and he or she even brings up math as an example. You can't refute the bare logic and facts of the universe. And Mike, you just pointed out that this was a mathematics class where Josh Alexander took this heat. This is where the fire started for him, because here's the problem, Slack John, not saying, and I really appreciate your comment. If you're listening, I really appreciate your comment. I know you put a lot of thought into that, and I know you sincerely believe that there is a neutral ground out there that we can all put our minds into, and we can reject, subjective beliefs and personal feelings, and we can just get that all out, and we can get down to the bare facts. And my question is, if that ever existed at all, why did a man ever have sex with another man? Why would that ever happen in a world full of logic that we can just access apart from our personal beliefs? You know what? It's disgusting, and we all know it. It's absolutely disgusting, but people do it because we are religious beings. And you can't escape that, Slack John, not saying, whether you believe in God or not. I don't know why. You have to ask yourself, why do you find God annoying? Maybe that's a more important question to be asking. But you, whether you believe in God or not, are wired by him. And we are religious in our nature. And so this is why people burn Bibles when they're confronted by them. This is why people react so flammably to people like Josh Alexander, because there is a way that people want to live, and that is their religious commitment. And we will not, and I'm going to give it to you guys here, you cannot return to an imaginary world where everybody agrees on the facts, because biology teachers and doctors all across the West right now are denying the facts because they are pressured by the religious worldview that we can remake ourselves in our own image, that we can remake our bodies in the image that our minds create. They are denying the facts. And so what we're trying to prove is that's gone. We cannot agree on the facts, and we need a religious worldview that the facts were put there by God. He made the laws, and our job is to conform to them and reflect them and positivize them in as faithful a manner as we can. So yes, we must stay on that train. We must stay Christian. We must become Christian in order to live rightly in God's world. I know you guys all agree, but Matt, I'm going to go to you, and then give me your last word, guys, your reflection on that.
Well, I mean, that's so important, Tim, because as Cornelius Van Til, who Mike's already mentioned, as he's fond of saying, there are no brute facts. All facts, so-called, are interpreted through the lens or the grid of our religious worldview. And you're actually seeing the truth of Cornelius Van Til's statements come out in our current cultural context, where you have math teachers trying to say that 2 + 2 = 5, where you have all sorts of people denying the created reality of normative sexual behavior, maleness and femaleness. Why? Because they have another religious worldview working as the grid upon which they look at reality. So here's what our YouTube commenter, appreciate the comment, is just totally not understanding, is he's assuming that there's something called objective reality, and he's assuming that the things that we can observe out in the world are normative, right? That because it's clear that males' bodies and females' bodies are made to correspond with one another, and that relationship naturally leads to life and children, that it's easy to deduce, therefore, that this is the way that things ought to go, and you don't need the religion side of it. But the problem is, friend, you're not understanding that the opponents that you're dealing with are hermetic, Gnostic religionists who basically say the creation that we inhabit, it's not normative at all. It's evil. It's fallen. The bodies that we exist in, they're terrible. They're no good. They're very bad. The creation was created by an artisan, a demiurge who was maleficent in what they were doing. So if we're going to actually come to know the truth of who we are, we have to break free out of these mundane bodies of ours and ascend to the higher truth that we can become like gods and that we can create our own identity and our own reality. So how do you argue, dear friend, against someone who says, sure, it might look like male and females correspond, but that in and of itself is evil? That's not a thing to be celebrated. That's not a good thing. It's an evil thing, right? We all have to work on basic presuppositions, axioms, that we have to then understand and interpret reality through. And what we're saying as Christians is we're not hiding that ball. You might be in feigning neutrality, but the fact of the matter is you, dear friend, also have those same world and life views. And the fact of the matter is there is no neutrality. Everybody has a religious worldview, and everybody interprets what they see through those basic presuppositions. Even the idea of math being somehow that you can comprehend it without God, right? When we're talking about mathematical principles, we're talking about immaterial, abstract, universal principles. How can you account for that without having an account of a personal, rational, immaterial God who's created things logically, if you're just taking a naturalistic worldview as your starting presuppositions? So that's what I want to challenge people with when thinking about these things. And I'll open it up for others to give their comments, or at least land the plane here.
Andrew, if you're going to comment, I'm going last.
Oh, you mean me? If I'm going to comment, you're going last?
Yes.
Okay. So you asked the question, Tim, why would we do this knowing that it's flammable? Like, why continue to engage if it's going to light stuff on fire? And to the comment from the YouTube person, why not put the flames out? So the answer is, I don't want to. That's the answer. The answer is, the best thing for the forest to prevent wildfires is not preventing them from happening. It's by having controlled burns. That if your mentality is, please, anything other than fire, no fires, let's just keep it peaceful and flameless, you know what that leads to? Destruction. So the wildfires that we see in Western Canada and California, the reason why they're raging more now than ever is because green earth-worshipping maniacs have said, let's do everything in our power to eliminate the controlled burns that prevent things from getting wild and prevent all the dead wood and leaves from building up. And what has that done? All it's done is created more of an issue. So our cultural mess exists in part because rather than Christians engaging in the masterful gospel work of controlled burns and understanding that we need to engage in such a way that it's going to light stuff up, we've said, no, anything other than that. And what happens? What happens is the culture continues to dump piles of dead leaves and dry wood on it so that when the tiniest spark comes about, the whole thing ignites in a wildfire. So I'm all about the controlled burn. I'm all about stepping in so that there will be a necessary fire for the good of the culture. So that cannot be our attitude. Our attitude cannot be, please, oh, please, no fire. Our attitude must be, no, I will bring the truth of the gospel and reality, and it is going to set things on fire. But for the good of the culture, better for me to engage, better for me to open the door of the dark closet and shine a light in and tell people that they are in darkness than for me to do nothing and just have people destroy themselves in that dark closet because they can't perceive reality. And so I'm going to take another quote from The Dark Knight Rises, sorry, The Dark Knight Returns, because I think Nolan was ignorantly more prophetic than he thought. It's when Alfred is telling Bruce about this man in the wild that they couldn't capture. He kept stealing stuff and they couldn't actually capture him. And so, you know, Bruce asks him, well, Alfred, what did you do? Like, how did you capture him? And Alfred says, we burned the whole forest down. And what we're getting at is here, sometimes we need to light the spark. And the problem is Christians for too long have done the opposite. We've said, no fire, no spark. And I'm saying, behold the wildfire of our culture gone mad. So bring the gospel, bring the truth, and you're going to have to light some fires. And that's okay, because that's the only way we save the culture.
That's a paradigm shift for a lot of Christians. Thank you. Mike?
Okay, so we began this section with Tim saying we didn't want to get to this comment, and I think that just was you. I just want to give clarity that was you just saying, I'm not sure how long we want to go today. But Tim, I know your heart, and I know our heart was actually to address this comment specifically because it's a legit question, and praise God, people are asking questions. I get excited when pagans say to us, I agree with you, but I don't understand why you appeal to God. There's two illustrations I want to give to our listener. And Tim, I actually hope that you're able to just go back on that comment and feed and say, we answered your question in this upcoming episode of Liberty Lounge. Have a listen. Here's two little illustrations. So first of all, someone who rejects a creator, someone who rejects God, refuses to understand facts. So God has created everything. He is the author of everything. And therefore, if you reject the author, you actually reject the facts that are plainly in front of you. I will give an illustration for this. You guys all know that I have four children. You all know that my second son, Gabriel, plays hockey. Gabriel, Tim knows this. Andrew and Matt don't know this, but Gabriel and I had an argument one night for 2.5 hours about slowing down as he approached the slot to take a shot for 2.5 hours. And so like I'm dancing on my head. I've got illustrations. I've got previous coaching articles. I've got videos. I've got all of this evidence. And Gabriel shuts down the conversation in one sentence. And he says, "Dad, you've never coached hockey." So with one foul swoop, he rejected all of the facts that I had presented simply because he was not willing to accept me as an authority in the moment. And so that's our first illustration. People actually can't see reality when they reject the author, because every fact is a God-created and God-interpreted fact. You cannot interpret the facts correctly if you reject the author of said facts. Number two, all of us know when we're talking about relativism, if someone's saying, "Well, you just can't know," we go, "Great, let's walk outside and I want you to step in front of a bus." And the most ardent relativists will not take a step in front of that bus. It is because they know that the bus is solid metal, that the bus has momentum, and that their bodies are far more fragile than the bus. Now, here's the point to why you have to talk about faith. Here's a point as to why you have to talk about God. Even though we can test them on their beliefs and say, "You're not really a relativist, you're an absolutist. You absolutely believe in the metal structure of that bus." And even if we could get them to a point to admit that, yes, they're an absolutist when it comes to the metal structure of a bus, they still can't answer questions like, "Well, why is the bus solid? Why does the bus striking me and ending my life have any meaning? And why is it morally wrong if someone were to push me in front of a bus?" So when you dismiss God from the picture, you have no meaningful reason for any of your statements that you can appeal to. You will have to appeal to an authority, and that authority will come from someone, and you will have to, whenever you're talking about the ultimate questions of life, you must appeal. Everyone has circular reasoning. And so, Tim, that is why, who's this listener? Who's the commenter? What's that name again? Slackjaw not saying, love your interaction. You agree with Tim because he's right, and you disagree with Tim about God because you have yet to put your faith in God, but you have now no meaning to turn around and to describe this world. So you might say boys are boys and girls are girls, but the answer is who cares if they want to do whatever they want. So you cannot answer the ultimate questions. You won't jump in front of the bus.
Can't join us on our team. Yeah. Yeah. You can't get an ought from an is. You can't justify laws of logic or have any basis for morality, any of those things. And that's why the greatest proof for the existence of the God is the fact that without him, you can't prove anything. And that's what we would leave you with, Slackjaw, not saying.
The question, Mike, is who cares? I love that. Yeah. Boys are boys and girls are girls, but who cares? Right. So, this has been great, guys. We're going to have to title this episode about something burning down something or flames floating.
Oxygen has to be in the room and burn.
Yeah. So we are burning it down with you guys here at Liberty Coalition Canada in partnership with ChristianWeek.org. Mike, Andrew, and Matt, thanks for your time and your input, for all the work you guys have done to promote this event, the walkout. And listeners, please send us your story, send us your video, send us your pictures so we can recap and just see what a great public rebuke this was of our corrupted institutions. So Stay with us in the fight. We are fighting and establishing the justice of Jesus Christ and his righteousness, our new mission statement at the Liberty Coalition Canada. I know I kind of blew that. It's establishing Christ's righteousness and justice. Thank you. Got to get that branding
establishing
right. Great work,
Christ,
everybody.
Righteousness and justice. Defending those who stand.
Thank you. And
starting
check
fires
out.
In the culture.
Yeah, that's Andrews. I think he's got a tattoo of that. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us. Listeners, check out all our shows. Like and share the episode, please. This is the only way we can grow this show is with you. And so we appreciate all of your support. Join us next week as more Other Club and Liberty Dispatch and Open Mic are coming out with new episodes all the time. We will see you next time on the Liberty Lounge.